Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. we just want to remind you that for us as Catholics, the month of August is devoted to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary. August is a month that we should be reconsecrating ourselves and our family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And let's also remember that our Lady asked for the practice of the first five Saturdays to help make amends for the offenses committed against her heart, by the blasphemies and ingratitude of men. So just a reminder on the month of August, once again, the month of August is dedicated to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
And that Terry. Fits, that Jesse, yeah. That fits right into our topic today. We're going to talk about the third secret of Fatima. And Fatima, as you just said, is, you know, it's about prayer, it's about reparation, it's about repentance, it's about sacrifice, and it's about abandonment of sin. We'll get more into all of that today, but we're also going to, it's a crazy world that we're living in, and I have to say this is a difficult show to have to report on this, because the last thing I want to report on is the vigor of Christ saying something ambiguous. But I've been having to do that for 8 years, Jesse. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Pope Francis said on the Ten Commandments, I observe them, but they're not absolutes. Well, that doesn't go with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we're going to call him lovingly out to say, Holy Father, please teach, confirm us in the faith. You know, Jess, that's the thing I do on the rosary every day now. With the Holy Father, the Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Glory Be, to confirm us in our faith, because I don't see that happening. And that's just, you know, with the examples that I just gave. We're also going to talk about a situation with Cardinal Burke, one of the great cardinals of our church, and give you an update on his situation, being in the hospital on a ventilator because of COVID-19. We can talk about all of the above. But also, Jesse, we're going to have a quote. We have a special guest on the Fulton Sheen's train today, that it's his feast day today, that is a powerful quote for our church today, just similar to what it was like at the Reformation time, where priests weren't really living the vows very fully. But before we get into all of it, Jess, the most important thing we can do is give people soul food. And this is today's gospel. We'd like to have you read from Matthew for us, Jess, and then give us an exegesis, which means explain it in our layman terms.
There you go. That's exactly it. Layman's terms. Or blue-collar...
Blue-collar Catholicism, brother.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14.
That's right.
Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent other servants, saying, tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast. Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, the feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, bind his hands and feet and cast them into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I love this gospel. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, it's when you look at the context of what our Lord is saying,
yeah,
to the scribes and Pharisees, he was saying that he came for the Jews first, but most of the Jews rejected Jesus. In fact, the vast majority of Jews rejected Christ's claims as Messiah. So Christ's plan B was the Gentiles. Plan A was the Israelite to come and save the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But because many of them have rejected Jesus, well, God has now come after and invited the Gentiles to salvation and to the covenant. And so this gospel also reminds us about the importance of living in a state of grace, where you see that section of the gospel where it says, where it talks about the garments. Let me see where it says. Yeah, where it says, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? What does it mean to not have a proper wedding garment? That means that your soul is not clothed with Christ. Mm. If you're not in a state of grace, you will not enter into that great wedding feast with the Lamb and with Our Lady. And so this gospel says, number one, the Jews were the chosen people of God, but many of them have squandered that coveted position that they had with God. So now The Gentiles were grafted in. And whether you're a Jew or Gentile, what does it take to enter into heaven? You got to have a clean wedding garment, which means you have to live in a state of grace and die in a state of grace.
Yeah, see, this gospel says it all about the generosity of God. I had a visit from my grandson yesterday afternoon. I took him to the park with my wife, and there was another gentleman there with his son or his daughter, and they were about the same age, like 18 months old. So they're going down the slide, and this gentleman is all tattooed up. I could tell, Jess, I'm not the sharpest cat, but I could tell this guy's been through a lot. So I got into a conversation with him. Because this gospel said it. I invited him to come to church, okay? Well, he had been in prison. He had, OD'd almost on drugs, and he told me he had an experience with God before he thought he was going to overdose on drugs, and he just said, I gotta get close to God. Well, I met him, and I said, that's great. I started sharing the gospel about the Eucharist and about the Catholic Church, and he says, I've been looking for a church. Nobody's invited me. I said, well, now you got someone who's inviting you, brother. His name is David. I said, David, bring your wife, bring your daughter, and you're welcome to come. Now, again, Jesse, he said to me, I can't believe I met you here. I said, brother, this is what we call a divine appointment, that God will always reach out to. He's giving you ways, just like this gospel. He's inviting you to come to the banquet. Brother, don't say no, because he's given you the freedom to say no or yes. Please say yes. So anyhow, I exchanged phone numbers with him. And again, this is what I think we need to be doing, even in times like we're living in right now, where people are confused. Welcome them, give them opportunities to know Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Jesse, that gospel is such a powerful one, again, that invites all of us to come to the Lord. And it doesn't matter how you look, this is not what it's all about. It's about bringing souls to Christ. So thanks for that commentary. Jesse, I want to bring in the smartest guy in the room, but you know who he has on this train is the feast day, St. John Hughes. And his quote, rather than Fulton Sheen's quote, I think is apropos for us today, because we're going to be talking about the church, about our priests, our bishops, the Holy Father. He said this. Now, this was, again, he was born 1601 to 1680. This was a time when the church was, it's kind of similar. The clergy weren't doing their job. So here's what he said. The most evident mark of God's anger and the most terrible castigation he can inflict upon the world is World War III? No, is manifested when he permits his people to fall into the hands of a clergy who are more in name than in deed, priests who practice the cruelty of ravaging wolves rather than charity and affection of devoted shepherds. They abandon the things of God to devote themselves to the things of the world, like COVID-19, and in their saintly calling of holiness. They spend their time in profane, worldly pursuits. This is what's happening 500 years ago. It's happening now. When God permits such things, this is where the cash value is right here, Jess. It is a very positive proof that he's thoroughly angry with his people and visiting his most dreadful wrath upon them. Jesse, that's a warning from a saint for us today. That's how I take it. What do you think of that statement, Jesse? Do you apply it to us today?
First thing I want to say, St. John Hughes,
pray for us.
Pray for us. St. John Hughes, Terry, was he had taken a vow of chastity at the age of 14.
Wow, what a tough age to take it.
Woo! He was drawn at a very early age by Christ-centered teachings.
Yeah,
he was ordained a priest of the oratory.
Yep.
And at this time, the devastating 30 Years War with the Lutherans had all but destroyed the faith of the peasants. So St. John Hughes threw himself into missionary work, enthusiastically preaching over 104 to 20 week missions.
That's awesome.
To his countrymen. He was struck by the great need for well-educated and self-giving priests. He founded the Society of Jesus and Mary, the Eudist, for the education of seminarians. And
he died
in 1680. The Order of Our Lady of Charity of the Refuge was established for the care of women who had been drawn into prostitution. St. John Hughes, pray for us.
We need another St. John Hughes today, folks. When we come back, we'll talk about the Fatima message, the third secret, and how it applies to us today, and how we can better live the Fatima message. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Father Paul Kelchek from Church Militant wrote an article. I think a lot of us feel this way because we talk to people and people are always saying, well, yeah, if the bishops would have, you know, consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or if only the third secret was divulged by Rome for the world to hear. I mean, there's just so much speculation out there, so many voices out there that have an opinion about the Fatima message. But I like the way Father Paul Kelchek, he basically says, I for one am just a little tired at this point in time of various commentators speculating one way or another about the what-ifs pertaining to the Fatima apparitions. And he says that, I think a lot of people fall into this, a lot of Catholics, because it's a lot of Catholics have this penchant for Gnosticism. And what do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, it's kind of romantic to believe that you're one of the few initiated that knows something from God that nobody else knows. That's Gnosticism.
Yep.
Okay. And there's a lot of Catholics that are, they're good Catholics, but they don't realize that they have this penchant for Gnosticism. And so Father Paul Kelchek, he says, unfortunately, what we need to do is consult real Fatima experts who have studied the firsthand testimony of the visionaries and the church's own archives on the matter. He says, I've been a priest for 22 years now. I run the other way when one of these sages starts prognosticating. And one common pronouncement that these individuals like to harp on these days runs along these lines. They'll say again, if only the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church will now consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Russia will not spread her errors and Christendom will be restored. You know, that's a great thought, but let's just be honest. That boat left the dock over a century ago. You know, our Blessed Mother encouraged the men, women, and church leaders who lived in 1918 to take immediate action. And all, save a few who were babes in the arms in 1918, are now dead. Since then, there have been two great world wars. Communist countries have covered the face of the earth, and the church is in the throes of an unprecedented persecution. Russia's errors are now here, there, and everywhere. The errors of Russia can be found at home in most of our families. Yeah, most of our kids have a Marxist education if they went to any government school. But at this moment in time, we only have one option left. As lay people, Father Kelcia says, we need to fight communism, which is posed to destroy the world and our church.
That's right.
But back to one of the prognosticator's favorite topics, the third secret, time has revealed it all. There are no longer any secrets left to talk about from Fatima. Moreover, in the last 60 years in the church, the commies have infiltrated, the homos have taken over all levels of the priesthood, and the traditional practice of the faith has been squashed. We are now way beyond the point of stopping Russia's spreading of her errors. China is now the world's communist superpower threat, and the evil of communism has now taken hold in many sectors of our own beloved United States. Terry?
Yeah, see, I just want to mention something. As we go along with Fatima, you and I have been talking about Fatima since we started, you know, evangelizing, but I want to just remind people that Our Lady's message is not complicated. Her requests are for prayer, reparation, repentance, and sacrifice, and the abandonment of sin. That's why we always say, what state should be living in? The state of grace. But before Our Lady appeared to these three shepherd children, Lucy, Francisco, and Assunta, the angel of peace visited them. The angel prepared the children to receive the Blessed Virgin Mary, and his instructions are an important aspect of the message that is often overlooked. And I just want to remind people, the angel demonstrated to the children a fervent, attentive, and composed manner in which she should all pray and the reverence we should have towards God in prayer. He also explained to them the great importance of prayer and making sacrifices in reparation for the offenses committed against God. Yes, Father just said it, all these offenses that have been committed in the last 60 years. This was 1917 about the offenses against God. This is only intensified. And so I think that it's important that we do share this Fatima message to our listeners, because Our Lady said it. We've said it so many times. The Fatima message is a reaffirmation of the gospel. That's what St. Pope Paul VI said. And it's so important to Google that message of Fatima, because we know Father's talking about the third sacred. Let's be honest, Jess. Let's just be brutally honest here. It's the loss of faith. Come on. Yeah. We've lived through it.
That makes sense to me.
Well, it does. But Jess, it wouldn't have made sense to me 40 years ago when I started, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. But now what I've seen in the church, I thought, I can't believe this is happening to our church. But you know what? I see the facts. And you know what? We just had another fact of a bishop in Brazil. He got removed. He had to step down because of, you know, well, I'll just call sex addiction. The guy was doing things he should have never done. He was the bishop. This is like, oh, yeah, no big deal. But Jesse, 40 years ago, I didn't hear that. 50 years ago, nothing. No. So I really think, you know, where's the church taking us? Where its leaders take them. But I believe also that this Fatima message is saying reparation. That's why tonight, from 7 to 9, we're going to be on our knees praying before the Blessed Sacrament. For what? Reparation. For our priests, we're praying for our priests, our bishops, the Holy Father. We want to give them the graces necessary from our sacrifices and our prayers that they would confirm us in our faith, because we're not seeing that right now, Jess.
That's right. And tragically, the world did not heed the message.
No, look what happened.
No. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
People did not repent, by and large. People have not made atonement for the conversion of sinners. But now is not the time to ponder what our grandparents did or did not do with respect to Fatima and our Blessed Mother's messages. Nor is it time to argue over what now dead prelates did or did not do in the aftermath of Fatima. Now it's our curse or our golden opportunity to fight this evil of communism with our regular reception of the church's sacraments and rosaries, said devoutly, offered for the conversion of sinners. We can easily look back over our shoulders and blame prior generations for their fault in this, that, or the next thing. Even if all that is true to some extent, we should concentrate our efforts to fight this evil that has taken over our world with all the fight we have within us right now. There's no more time and effort should be wasted on speculations of former generations, suppressed secrets, playing the game of what if. That's no longer an option. Nope. The one option we have is to fight the enemy now poised to destroy billions of souls. The son who thinks he's gay and he thinks that it's all right to act that way. The brother who thinks the church and her sacraments are nonsense. The president who advocates for abortion and everything LGBTQ. Ugh. The apparitions at Fatima happened a century ago.
Yep.
Sadly, we're losing the fight. No more time and effort should be wasted on speculations of former generations' suppressed secrets. If we don't begin fighting back now, everything will be lost.
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. We know that. It's guaranteed. But what is not guaranteed is how many souls will be saved from Satan in these skirmishes. It could be many,
yep,
or it could be few. Let us pray that more people will wake up to Our Lady's message of Fatima and repent from all sin and pray and offer atonement for the conversion of sinners. Every soul is made in the image and likeness, amen, of God. Let us pray for the conversion of all sinners and that all souls will be saved. And that should be our marching order.
Absolutely.
Right now, Terry.
And Jesse, don't forget, we say it all the time, pray your daily rosary. This is the message Our Lady gave. It's confirmed again in Akita back in the early 70s, a reaffirmation of Fatima. But she asked us to wear that brown scapular and that we must make sacrifices, especially the sacrifice, I love this, of our doing our daily duty in reparation for the sins committed against our Lord and our Lady. She also stressed the necessity of prayers and sacrifices to save poor sinners from hell. You know, Jesse, that's the message of Fatima. The kids saw hell. You know how many times people say, don't talk about hell. You're going to scare them. Are you kidding me, Jess?
Or how about bishops alluding that, you know what, we're not even sure there's anybody in hell.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem, Jess.
That's
the big problem. And that's why I say it's very, very important. The message of our Fatima message to individuals is summarized there. And I just mentioned it again, you know, the idea that there's prayer, reparation, repentance, sacrifice, and abandonment from sin. Basically, Our Lady is saying, hey, if she was here right now and we said what state we should be living in, she'd say, oh, of course, the state of grace. And so that's what Fatima is all about. And that's why we wanted to bring it up, because sometimes even in our own clergy, they're poo-pooing that. I'm going to tell you, Jesse, a funny story. I was recording Father Ron Tangen on the message of Fatima, and I was up in upstate New York at one of those Jesuit shrines.
Yeah.
And the priest came up to me and said, shut it off, cut out, shut the mic off, don't stop recording. And I'm on the side recording a priest giving the message about Fatima. These Jesuits didn't want to hear it. I said, Father, I don't have any authority to shut that thing off. The priest went up and grabbed a microphone from my friend, Father Ron Tangen, and said, the evening is over. Why? Because what? Father Ron, yeah, I was there. I was about 20 years old when it happened. I saw this happen. He says, people don't need that message. Get out. And we packed our bags, and we could never get back there again. That was 1979. I'll never forget it. But it made me think, why is the priest so upset about Fatima? I'll tell you why, Jesse. Because the Fatima was a message of the gospel, and when he talked about hell, this priest didn't believe in it. That's why he told that other priest, Father Ron, to knock it off. You're going to scare people. See, Jesse, I didn't realize that was 41 years ago, 42 years ago, that this was the battle. Now here I am in my 60s and going, gosh, this was happening from way back when. And again, that's the importance that you and I have been talking about, the fundamentals of the Catholic faith. Teaching what we know and the perennial teachings of the church. We're not into novelties. Can you tell? We're into the fundamentals. We have a biblical worldview. Jess Romero, if I could describe you, that's how I describe you, as a man who loves Jesus and his church, and you have a world biblical view.
Yeah, Terry, and you know what's sad is I just read the other day that only 6% of Americans.
No, yeah, Americans.
6% of Americans.
That's right.
Have a biblical worldview.
And that's why I brought it up, Jess. We need more of a biblical worldview.
Unbelievable.
And please tell your friends to tune in to Virgin Most Powerful, because that's what we do here. It's not Jess Romero's personal opinion. Who cares? My opinion? Who cares? We want to know what Jesus Christ has taught from day one, the perennial teachings. When we come back, I hate to have to say it, but we're going to have to talk about Pope Francis and his ambiguous statement about the Ten Commandments. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. John Eudes, pray for Pope Francis.
Amen.
Terry, this is...
Yeah, difficult.
Yeah, this is very difficult to talk about right here.
Yeah.
Pope Francis, who should have an absolutist approach when it comes to the commandments...
Yeah, they're not suggestions.
He doesn't. He's not... He doesn't have an absolutist approach for the Ten Commandments, but he does have an absolutist approach for the COVID jab.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately,
here's what he said in his own words about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Pope Francis said, quote, about the commandments, I observe them, but not as absolutes.
What?
Is this microphone on?
That's what I was just going to say.
That is hard to believe, of course, as we have been so many, we've seen so many other of Pope Francis' statements over the last 8 years, and this is just another one that makes your head spin. But did you catch that, what he said?
Yep.
Again, Pope Francis does not have an absolutist approach to the Ten Commandments, but he does have an absolutist approach to the so-called COVID vaccine, making it seem absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
In fact, he just released another promo video for the COVID jab without even mentioning that they're all abortion tainted. Terry, I don't know. I think he's a product of his poor formation.
Yeah, that's a benefit in giving him the benefit. I would just ask anybody to read the past Pope's encyclicals, Jesse. Read them. And then when you read things from Pope Francis, you ask, where's the continuity? See, where's the consistency of his predecessors? It doesn't seem to be there, Jess.
Nope.
And that's a concern. That's a red flag. But the idea that the Pope made these statements in context of how Christians live a moral life, he said, how do I live? He responded to his own question by saying, do I live in fear that if I do not do this or that, I will go to hell? Or do I also live with that hope, with the joy of graciousness of salvation in Jesus Christ? Yeah, that's a good question. Because the Catholic Church teaches, he said, anyone who dies has not repented of just one mortal sin does indeed go to hell. See, that's the kind of stuff I want to give him the benefit there. That was a good statement because he's saying mortal sin separates us from God. But here's the point, Jesse. The Holy Father has come out with another video telling everybody we have a moral obligation to get the jab. And that's a concern. And I don't want to take the whole time. I'm just going to ask this question. If the Holy Father was with me, please, Holy Father, can you please advise me of the approved legal status of this vaccine and if it's experimental? You know, acknowledge it. It's experimental, Holy Father. Okay. And you want me to take it? I got it. Number two, can you please provide details and assurances that the vaccine has been fully independently and rigorously tested against control groups and subsequent outcomes of those tests? No, he can't give those things. See, this is not something he's qualified to do. But here's another one. Can you please advise me on the likely of risk of fatality should I be unfortunate to contract COVID-19 and the likelihood of the recovery? Holy Father, do you realize that 1% of the people who get COVID-19 are going to end up dying? I just want to say these questions I have for you, Holy Father, with due respect, but I want to know more about not so much COVID-19 and the vaccine. I want to know the vaccine of going to heaven. In other words, sin and redemption. That's what I'm looking for more on a video. For example, and I'll just throw it right back to you, Jesse, but I would love to have the Holy Father put a video out on the millions of babies that 100% of them are dying through abortion and warning us not to participate in abortion in any way we can and to stop the killing of the innocent life. That, to me, would be a more apropos time, a value of his time to give us because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Jesse, taking the jab is not going to, there's people that are going to go to heaven whether they take the jab because of ignorance. That's a possibility. But I got to tell you, the seriousness of abortion, unborn babies dying, we need leadership from the very top to tell us that this is a moral wrong, that it's killing innocent life. And the Bible says, ready? The commandments, thou shalt not murder, the fifth commandment, and it's not a suggestion. That's what I'm looking for from the Pope. Okay, I said it. I've said it with respect. But Holy Father, please, why are you pushing so hard on this vaccination that's tended by abortion when really, this is not something that's essential? What's essential is, as you know, salvation. That's what's essential.
That's
right.
I'm done,
Jess. I'm done.
Terry, when the Pope says that, again, that for him,
yeah,
the commandments are not absolutes.
Well, they are for me. That's well, about, know what the Bible says.
Jesus says in John chapter 14,
sure
verse
does.
15,
right.
Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
That's right.
So when the Pope is saying that the commandments are not absolute,
it's contrary to the Bible, Jeff, let's be honest.
It's contrary to our Lord and Savior,
yeah,
Jesus Christ.
And love, let's call him the fidelity. And love.
Yeah. And also, Bishop Athanasius
Snyder. He spoke up.
He spoke out. They asked him to make a comment about what the Pope had said. And Bishop Athanasius Snyder said that his statement about
the commandments.
That the commandments are not, you don't have to, he's not an absolutist, mm-hmm, when it comes to the Ten Commandments. Bishop Athanasius Snyder says this contradicts the teaching of the Church and is very much a kind of sola fide teaching of Martin Luther. In other words, justification by faith alone.
Yeah.
Moreover, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, he said, this affirmation of Pope Francis contradicts the encyclical Veritatis Splendor,
Splendor of Truth,
of Pope John Paul II, which says, in the Old Covenant, we already find admirable witnesses of fidelity to the holy law of God, even to the point of a voluntary acceptance of death.
Yep.
But he also quoted the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 2072.
That's important.
Which also contradicts what Pope Francis said.
Yep.
The Catechism states, quote, the Ten Commandments are fundamentally immutable, and they oblige always and everywhere. No one can dispense from them.
Even the Pope.
Quote. Yeah. And also, do you remember last year when Pope Francis said he approved of same-sex unions?
I do.
At that time, Bishop Snyder called on all the faithful to pray for the conversion of Pope Francis.
Yep.
So many of his statements, Terry, over the years have caused massive confusion.
Oh, yeah.
And have even contradicted the faith.
That's true.
It's no wonder that the faithful need to pray for his conversion.
We do.
We've got to pray for all the popes.
Absolutely.
But Terry, this one, more than any other pope in my lifetime, needs much more prayer.
Of course, and that's why I say to everybody, when you pray your rosary and you have your Our Father and your Hail Mary and your Glory Be for the Pope, I would highly recommend that you pray with this intention that the Holy Father confirms us in our faith, because that's part of his job description, Jess. Not my description. It's his, because he is the vigor of Christ. And Jesse, just to kind of put people at ease, we've had popes in our 2,000-year history that have been less than perfect. Matter of fact, bad popes. And I would just say this, that history will vote on that. But I will say this. We, as individual laymen, can't call out the Pope, but his advisors, the cardinals that are his advisors, they really need to do what Cardinal Burke did with three other cardinals when he did the dubia, which was the questions about Amoris Laetitia. We need more of the hierarchy to step up and say, Holy Father, we've got a problem here with what you're saying. You need to get it within the Catholic Church teachings, because it's not going to come from Jesse Romero. Who's Terry Barber and Jesse Romero? You know what, Joe? Jesse, we're just two hoi polloi guys who love Jesus, but we can tell when you're not teaching the perennial teachings of the Church. And out of love and respect and humility, we need to say, Pope Francis, please don't give us your personal opinion. Give us the perennial teachings of the Church, and I ask with all faith and humility, and I will continue to pray, and I'll say it, for his conversion. Go back to the perennial teachings of the Church.
That's right. Pope Francis has released a video promoting the COVID-19 vaccine, and he's urging people to get vaccinated. It's about a three-minute video.
It is.
And the Pope said that the vaccines, he says, bring hope to an
end. I thought the gospel brought hope, Jess.
Exactly.
Sorry.
He says the vaccines bring hope to an end of the pandemic and called receiving the vaccine an act of love. No, receiving the Eucharist
killing,
is an act of love.
Using unborn babies as an act. See, that's why I just, I'm sorry, Jesse, to jump in, but I'm just a layman. I'm like, no, Holy Father, please don't do this to us. It's really, it's undermining the faith.
That's right. Now, the video made no mention of Christ, and believe it or not, never mentioned the fact that all the currently available COVID vaccines are abortion tainted.
Full disclosure.
That's not mentioned in the video. How does he justify this in his mind?
Well, I don't know, Jesse, and I'm not here to judge Pope Francis, but what I am here to do is look at the perennial teachings of the church for 2,000 years and say, if it's consistent, you look in the catechism. I'm going to tell people, please look to the catechism of the Catholic Church, look to the teachings of the church, and when you see something that is not consistent, whether it's a Moris Laetitia about marriage for second marriages, receiving Holy Communion, say, I'm sorry, Holy Father, I can't accept that because it's not accepted by Holy Mother, the Church.
Yeah, and again, he doesn't mention in the video that the COVID vaccines are abortion tainted.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that'd be
important. It's like
for a pope to mention.
And not only that, Jesse, real quick, to tell people they have a moral obligation to try and find other alternatives to helping their family. And here's the other thing, Jess. If this was a true pandemic, I don't describe this as a pandemic when less than 1% of the people are going to die from this.
Right.
That's not qualifying a pandemic. It just doesn't.
Right, exactly. Terry, these COVID jabs being promoted by Pope Francis, they were developed on the backs of aborted babies. That's a fact.
And we're not going to put up with that.
Yeah, and they were all produced using aborted fetal cell lines for testing purposes.
Yep, that's just the facts, Jesse, as you say, as a policeman.
Yep.
Sergeant Friday, just the facts,
just
ma'am.
Just the facts.
All right, we come back. We'll talk about our good friend, Cardinal Burke, who's been very, very ill. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Cardinal Raymond Burke remains in serious but stable condition.
Yep.
And according to an authorized statement from the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the cardinal remains sedated and on a medical ventilator, and his family has expressed confidence in the care he is receiving.
Yeah. The big thing, the big thing, he got the sacraments. I was worried about that. You know, sometimes these hospitals won't let you come in. So I'm glad to see that.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So the condition of Cardinal Raymond Burke, who was recently hospitalized with COVID-19 and placed on a ventilator, had reportedly deteriorated, but he now remains in stable condition.
Please, praise God.
And a press release that was issued by the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, stated that, quote, as of August 17th, His Eminence remains in serious but stable condition. His family, who were the team of doctors, is responsible for all medical decisions, while the cardinal remains sedated and on a medical ventilator, has great confidence
in the care he's receiving. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
The cardinal has received the sacraments, as I said, from the priest nearby to him. And there are several, I love this, Jesse, there's several relics in his room. And I just want to remind people to go to Crisis Magazine. I'll tease you there because I like Crisis Magazine. They have some beautiful stories of Cardinal Burke with some of the great saints to help people with infertility. That's my teaser. But he said the statement indicated the family has requested the shrine, right, to be there. The family also expressed gratitude for all the outpouring of prayers and support for the cardinal while he's urging respect for his privacy. Jesse, one thing I will mention to you, I got a call from a priest who worked in the Vatican. I won't say his name. He's a diplomat. And he told me that there's a lot of liberal prelates in Rome very happy. I said, what are they happy about? He said, well, they think, you know, with Cardinal Burke getting out of the way because, you know, he's a stumbling block because of his orthodoxy. So I bring this point up that does the media hate Cardinal Burke or the faith he represents? And I would say the same thing inside the church. They don't hate him as a person, as a particular person. It's because of the faith he represents, Jesse. And I think that, you know, God have mercy on those people, because what Cardinal Burke has been teaching, whether it's the COVID-19 or the marriage with the dubia that he's put out years ago on Morris Letitia, he's a man who is a faithful son of the Catholic Church. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like him. That's my take, Jess.
That's exactly it. Cardinal Burke's Twitter account had announced on August 14th that he was admitted to the hospital with COVID-19 and being assisted by a ventilator. Doctors seem to be encouraged by his progress, and His Eminence faithfully prayed the rosary for those suffering from the virus. And on this Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary that just passed, let us now continue praying our rosary for him.
Absolutely.
Every single day, let's pray our rosary until he's out of the hospital.
Let me just give 4 points, Jesse, why people would like to see him out of the way, the liberal arm of the church. It's because he questioned the draconian lockdown, suggested that some powerful forces are manipulating the situation to their own advantage. Many others have made the same argument, not without supporting evidence. Number two, it's because he criticized the rash to develop a vaccine using tissue lines derived from abortion. Again, many others have made the same criticism in the same way. Now, he also has 2 others. It is because he decried the closing of the churches. Thank you, Cardinal Burke. And the presumption that religious worship is not an essential activity. Here, too, he had plenty of company, but I think we are drawing closer to the truth. And the last bullet, why people don't like him, why I like him, is because Cardinal Burke admittedly defends the moral teachings of the church, because he's become the leading exemplar of Catholic resistance against an overweening pressure of secular liberalism. Jesse, he's one of the generals for me. How about you?
Oh, absolutely, Terry. Yep. Yeah, he's definitely, he's one of the generals of the church militant today.
Yep.
Terry, something else about Cardinal Burke is he has a real devotion to Gianna Beretta Mola.
He's got a great track record with her.
Yeah, yeah. You could see pictures of him on the internet where he's he blesses people with the piece of Gianna Beretta Mola's wedding
that
dress.
That had problems with infertility, and he's had 8 couples end up after that blessing conceiving children. Isn't that great?
Yes, yes. So Gianna Beretta Mola was the Italian medical doctor who forewent medical treatment for a fibroid tumor because she feared treatment would kill her unborn child. And she gave birth to a daughter and then died. But quite rightly, Mola had become a patron saint of pregnant mothers and the pro-life movement that there's no end to baby girls now named Gianna.
Yep.
And Cardinal Burke said, quote, "I have done this 8 times and it has worked 8 times. He scurried around the house looking for another relic of her wedding dress that we could enthrone in our home while we waited for another baby. He was sad because his last one had already been lent out." Yeah, Terry, this man, this guy's got a heart of gold. This guy's a pastor's pastor, and this guy, it would be a tragedy, an unspeakable tragedy, if he passes away.
And you know, Jesse, one of the things he said the best weapon for battling the evil of the coronavirus, listen to this, man, it's supernatural. He says it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Associated Press printed that. And I said, see, that's the kind of leadership I'm looking for. I expect my pope, my bishops to say that. I don't expect them, a pope or a bishop, to say, get vaccinated. That's your salvation. No, Jesse, I don't look to this world. I look to the next one. And I think our clergy need to direct us heavenly, not earthly. That's my take.
Yeah, that's right. There's also another story about a young man who was outraged at the teaching of the Catholic Church on the question of homosexuality.
Yeah, oh, this is a great story.
And
Crisis Magazine.
So this young man verbally dressed down Archbishop Burke for teaching
For holding to the truth.
Yeah, for holding to the truth about homosexuality. Yep. So this young man, he slammed down various religious articles onto Raymond Cardinal Burke's desk.
Yeah.
And he stormed out of his office saying that he will never return to the Catholic faith again. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Years later, that same young man, no longer a practicing homosexual, he came back to Cardinal Burke to apologize.
Awesome.
And Burke happily welcomed back this prodigal son. He embraced him and then rummaged around in a closet and came up with all the things that the young man had left in anger years before. Yeah. Cardinal Burke had kept them and had kept praying for the young man's return the church.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah.
That's a pastor
with a heart of gold.
You've got it, Jess.
Yeah.
We need to pray. Let's pray a prayer for his recovery, of being God's will, that Cardinal Burke will come back and get good health to continue to defend Holy Mother, the Church. Jess, why don't you lead us in a prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now
and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
One Hail Mary is a powerful prayer. Why don't we do this, everybody? This is your spiritual fitness trainers here. Pray a Hail Mary every day for the health of Cardinal Burke, if it be God's will. Pray that Hail Mary every single day. Will you do that, family? I will.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that's right. Terry, and there's some silly leftists that have gone so far as to accuse Cardinal Burke of leading a rad-trad schism.
I know.
Again, that's nonsense. The man is a loyal son
that's
of the church
right.
Who has refused even to consider leading such a movement. And yes, people have asked him to launch an open revolt. They say that he does not recognize the Francis papacy, but that's a lie. That's not true. It is sad to suspect that Cardinal Burke will likely never get the full Ratzinger treatment as he deserves. That is the widespread understanding of who he really is. Mm. As it is, he lies sedated in a hospital bed fighting COVID. He's on a respirator. Those nearest to him describe his situation as serious but stable. It is time for all good men of goodwill to set aside all animus and implore the Immaculate Heart of Mary to intercede for this warm-hearted pastor. Now, we could also ask St. Gianna Mola, pray for Cardinal Burke.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesse, I will say this. He said it over and over again about Pope Francis is our Pope. He said it so many times. He says, I am just giving you the perennial teachings of the church, and I get condemned for that. And I'd say to people who say that to Cardinal Burke, that he's doing that, no, it's the truth that sets us free. And here's a man who loves faith and reason. And that's what our Catholic faith teaches us. And again, just to remind everybody, tonight we're going to be praying for the Pope, the bishops, and the priests every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel for 2 hours. We get down on our knees. We have rosaries. We do Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And this is what we're doing every week for the Holy Father. So some people will say, Terry, you're being critical of a priest, a pope, or a bishop. No, I'm being critical because I believe that when they teach something that's incorrect, that charity calls that. If Jesse saw me teach something or heard me say something on the radio, he wouldn't love me if he didn't correct me right on the air. And I mean right on the air for the good of the salvation of souls. If I teach something that's not going along with the Holy Mother of the Church, correct me. But I would say that for everyone in the church, including the Pope. We have to call each other to fidelity to who? Jesus Christ. Who do we worship, Jesse, on that cross?
Our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And let's remember that the popes are not, they're not the successors of Christ. They're the vicars of Christ.
Amen.
So let's keep, you know, popes.
I say it this way. They're not superiors of Christ. They're the vicar of Christ.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever.
I love it.
And he's the one that we worship. Popes are the vicars.
They come and go, Jess.
And they come and go. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jess Romero, we're so glad to have you back. I know your traveling's been curtailed because of some COVID things, but here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we just enjoy sharing the gospel with our listeners. If you like what we're doing, like us, go ahead on you, on the on our website at vmpr.org. If you want to send a donation, that would be great. Send in prayers, requests. We pray for people tonight, also before the Blessed Sacrament. Jesse Romero, quick question, brother. What state should we be living in?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Pray your rosary every day. Read your Bible every day.
Yep.
And go to confession now if you're in mortal sin.
And review,
go now.
And I'll remind you, everybody, part of your examination of the Ten Commandments. Review those Ten Commandments when you go to confession. Jesse Romero, we've got Dr. Sandoval up next here on Virgin Most Powerful. If you can't get it on your station, download our free app by going to vmpr.org. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.